This is The Horned Lark, a part of an archive broadcast, Nature of Things, from March 9th, 1990.
Roadside bird watchers at this time of the year would do well to lavish at least a bit of attention on the roadside ditches and adjacent fields. They're applying the remnants of seed-bearing weeds or the freshly spread manure. They may see a crowd of nondescript brown and white birds of several species. Although it may take a bit of study to separate them, snow bunnings, horned larks, and occasionally pipits or longspurs are interesting, if not exciting. Most of these birds are winter visitants, which will soon enough forsake central New York roadsides for Canadian nesting grounds, some of them proceeding to the tundra before settling in. The horned lark, however, is with us throughout the year. Probably our winter population is different from our summer one, but if it is, there is certainly little time for the changeover. The prairie horned lark, as we called it in the days of my youth, may be nesting hereabouts before the end of the month. In my home county, Orleans, I learned to associate the first nesting of the horned lark with the first chorus of spring peepers. I'd always know when the peepers' first tentative chirps wafted across the pear orchard from the swale beyond, it was time to search the fallow fields for horned lark nests. I won't go into why a pre-teenage youth would even care about this little nondescript bird. There is no explaining such things. At any rate, it was a challenge I relished, and besides, I marveled at how these little 7-inch birds could start a home and incubate from 3 to 5 brown speckled eggs with snow still on the ground. I suspect that nest mortality is high with such chancy arrangements, but in Orleans County, with its shallow clay loam, it was the perfect equation for success, especially back in the late 30s and early 40s. There were few idle acres in those Lake Plains farms, so late nesting was likely to be interrupted by the plow, the drag, and the cultivator. The fact that many fields could not be touched until May, when they were dry enough to be plowed without making concrete, was a great boon to the horned lark. The horned lark likes a nest site where remnants of last year's weeds, grasses, or rosettes of spring rocket, sow thistle, or shepherd's purse provide enough concealment to satisfy the bird. There, in a small depression lightly lined with interwoven grasses or weeds, the lark would deposit its precious investment in the future of its kind. The nests are easy enough to find, but I wouldn't recommend disturbing them, since their numbers may seem to have dwindled hereabouts. Still, it's worth a trip to their nesting grounds early in the season, just to hear and watch their song flights. I well remember a sunny March day when I first heard this fairy carillon. I could clearly hear its chaotic, high-pitched cadence, but I failed to find the author. I immediately sought out my older brother, Ed, who was himself quite a naturalist and conservationist, and described what I had heard. Elfin bells, I called it. Ed, who often provided helpful hints rather than answers, replied, "Next time you hear it, look up. You'll probably see it fluttering and soaring around. Once you've learned to identify it, you'll find it also sings on the ground." I went back, and sure enough, there it was, so high I could barely hear its wild, thin lisp. Then it plummeted to the ground, and I was able to see it better. At first, it looked like a large sparrow, but I soon noticed dark horns, crescent-shaped black facial markings, and breast patch, which contrasted notably with its yellow throat and white face. The rest of the bird was soil brown, indistinctly striped on the back and the flank. The white margins on the dark tail are good field marks seen whenever the bird flies. Because of this predominant soil color, it's easy to overlook the bird in early spring. However, it is one of the few birds active over eroded pastures or soon-to-be-plowed fields, and aside from the killdeer, the only one singing there before May. If you get out in the field early enough in the season, you may be able to watch the territorial competition of the males. I've never been able to make too much sense of the whole thing. When horned larks were more numerous, it often struck me as pointless or at least planless, but others who have studied it in detail have been able to sort out the combatants. As would be expected, the activities become more focused as the time of nesting approaches, and there is even a ground display which may be seen by the persistent observer. We are told that the horned lark was largely missing from the primeval northeast, moving in only after farming replaced the pervasive northeastern forests. Perhaps its gradual disappearance from central New York is a result of the gradual abandonment of agriculture. Unless it becomes a dooryard or garden bird, which seems unlikely, its future hereabouts is certainly in doubt. And that's all I have for this week. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week and keep it natural.